Good evening. Good evening to all the saints of God. I pray and I trust that you've got something to laugh about. If you're born again, the Spirit of the living God is on you, in you, and with you. And one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every time we breathe, everybody, every human being that breathes, we acknowledge in God, whether you acknowledge Him with your mouth or not. So guess what? When we have joy, we're celebrating the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. I trust you're blessed tonight. You're listening to First is Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change my life. I will never be the same. The Word of God switches me from natural to spiritual. I become a different person. And because Romans 12:2 is not a request or a suggestion, it's a command, I am transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sunday morning, I told you we all go through changes. If you're a bachelor or a bachelorette and you get married, you go through some changes, right? But those changes, you can get divorced. Parents that have children, you can put them up for adoption. The husband can divorce a wife. And these are changes. Grandparents, great-grandparents, these are changes. The death of a loved one changes us. The worst thing that we human beings can experience is the death of a loved one. It hurts. It hurts. The shortest verse in the Bible, 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, and the shortest verse is Jesus wept. Jesus wept when he heard about Lazarus. But these changes, they affect our lives, but they don't make us a new person. They make us different. We switch, we become different. But only the Word of God, only the blood of Christ, only the Holy Spirit can transform us. And like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, all things old are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. This is Jesus changes our life for eternity, forever. Amen. That's why we say, First is Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change my life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for changes. Nobody likes changes but a baby with a dirty diaper. But changes are good for us. Amen. So this is our Daily Bread service for April the 17th. Monday, April the 17th, our Daily Bread service. And you know the purpose for 23, Kingdom Priority for me. In 2023, it's Kingdom Priority for me. Is it Kingdom Priority for you? Does it come in order of importance before anything else in your life? Listen, Pastor Rose and I, we've been married over 54 years. And we knew each other for 2 years in high school before we got married. And the Bible says to enjoy the wife of your youth. And, you know, God has just blessed us. But our love grows. I mean, it just gets better and better, gooder and gooder, if there's such a word. Well, this is natural. But I love Pastor Rose. I love our son, Andrew. I love our son, Andrew. You know, we brag and boast. I brag and boast on my wife. She's a godly woman. I brag and boast on Brother Andrew. And it upsets a lot of times. It upsets people. It's like, you can't have that good a relationship. Yes, if God is involved in it, everything is better. But God changes us for eternity. Amen? I trust that this message this evening will bless you. Our Daily Bread scripture for the month of April, and it's help for us when we go through storms, when we suffer, when we go through trials, situations, circumstances, problems, storms. Nahum 1:7 in the Old Testament, the Lord is good. we could stop right there. The Lord is good. If something bad happened in your life, it's not from God. If something good happened, the Lord is good. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. He is a refuge, a strong tower in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust Him. Listen, He cares for everybody. Remember, God blesses all some of the time, but He blesses some all of the time. So God loves and He cares for those who trust Him. He loves everybody, but some people don't acknowledge Him. They don't trust Him. They don't put their faith in Him. So He loves them from afar, but He loves them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 in the Old Testament, Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. We can't figure out God in our mind. The smartest person in this world can't, without the Holy Spirit, you know, the Star Wars movies, they call the Force. May the Force be with you. They don't know. They don't have a relationship with God. They just know someone is out there bigger, greater than all of us. But God is God, and He is the great I Am. Amen. Yahweh. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And Jesus will bless us with everything. Jesus will give you this evening everything if in your life nothing comes before Jesus. That's why 23 kingdom priority for me. Anyway, our Bible question this week on Sunday morning, I asked, who did Jesus send to catch a fish that had a coin in its mouth? If that doesn't rock our world and shake our brain, it's like, what? Jesus sent somebody to go fishing and the fish would have a coin in its mouth? If you read Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, Peter comes to Jesus and he said, look, they're asking for the taxes. We don't have no money. I don't know what we're going to do. And the answer is Jesus told Peter, he commanded Peter, go catch a fish. And that fish will have a coin in its mouth. So the answer is Peter. Do you remember last week? Jesus commanded Peter to cast his nets, plural. And what did Peter do? He cast only one net. Then after the resurrection, Jesus went through the same thing. He tells Peter, cast your net on the right side. Do you remember that last Sunday? Not yesterday, but last week. And Peter obeyed. He said, yes, okay, on the right side. And it says they caught a multitude of fish. So Peter missed it the first time, but God blesses all. He blessed Peter with a lot of fish. The second time, Peter was obedient, and he caught a multitude of fish. So now Jesus tells him, go, you need money to pay taxes, go fishing. And the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth. I tell you, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, look in the mirror. He saved you. He saved me. He has a sense of humor. He is perfect, and you or I are imperfect vessels. But He chooses, and He uses, and He preserves us who He chooses. Amen. So Jesus tells Peter to go fishing, and the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in his mouth. So Peter found out already. He's got two experiences. So he goes, all right, so what does he do? He does what Jesus tells him to do, and Jesus will do the impossible. Don't ask me how that fish swallowed a coin. I have no idea. But I know Jesus is always working behind the scenes. If you need something this evening, whatever you need, healing, salvation, deliverance, mental health, social, whatever you need, guess what? God has already provided. He's working behind the scenes for you. All you have to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Say, where is it, Lord? Where do I find Jesus in the middle of the storm? Peter knew, all I have to do is do what He tells me. What happened? Peter went fishing, The first fish that he caught, he opened his mouth, and there was a gold coin in there. Listen, here's a revelation. If you hear anything from this evening's message, is there are blessings on the other side of yes. There are unexpected blessings when you obey. Again, let me repeat this. There are blessings on the other side of yes. Think about the wedding at Canaan, Jesus' first miracle. If the servants wouldn't have obeyed, if they wouldn't have said yes, guess what? The party would have been over a lot earlier, and the hosts and the married couple would have had a lot of explaining to do why they didn't have enough wine. But unexpected blessings. We're out of wine. We're out of unexpected blessings. And there are blessings on the other side of yes. When you obey, I tell you what, you have no idea. You have no idea the blessings. Amen. So last week we looked at Peter and the nets. Peter learned John 2:5. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. Amen. Listen, this evening's message, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Or if you're taking notes, just go ahead and put Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. This is Jesus giving us a parable about our Christian life, about our life in the world. It's heavenly language. You know, the Lord had me use Peter with a gold coin. Gold coin to you and me this evening represents, what do you need? We need money to pay taxes. Okay, God, Jesus provided a gold coin. Tonight, what do you need? Jesus will provide it for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and here's the key. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, a wise man. A wise man. So that's the key. If you're hearing me, you're getting information, but you're going to do something about it. A wise man built his house on the rock. On the rock. Amen. This is heavenly language. This is apocalyptic literature. Jesus expected us to know what he's talking about. We're believers. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that I've said. And in Matthew 7:25, Jesus says, unless the Lord builds a house, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Unless we build our house, our relationship, our life with Jesus, this is heavenly language. This is our gold coin. If we're obedient, just like Peter was, verse 25 says, the rains came, floods came, and winds came. What is that? They're storms, tests, trials, tribulations, problems, troubles, storms. They came, and what happened? Man, the house stayed up. It did not fall. That's a wise man. That's a key for you and me. Now in verse 26, the foolish builder. So there's a wise and there's a foolish. God always gives us a choice. You can receive or you can reject. You can complain or you can compliment. Verse 26, the foolish built their house on sand, and the rains came, floods came, and the winds came, and the house fell. I want you to notice there's a wise man and a foolish man, but Jesus uses the same words to describe what happened to both houses. What's the difference? We need to see this spiritually. We need to see this, church. I know some of us, most Christians, we're just happy to be saved. But we tolerate, we put up with stuff in the world that we shouldn't do that. We don't have to suffer needlessly. We don't have to do without. Jesus has provided everything that we need that pertains to godliness and life. Jesus used the same words on both houses. The only difference is the end result. At the end of the day, are you wise or are you foolish? The only difference is the end result. One house did not survive the storm. The other house survived the storm. Do you get this message this evening? Why do bad things happen to good people? Based on this passage, believers are not immune from the storms. Rain come, floods come, winds come. See the news. I mean, good people, you know, they're flooded, they're fires. There are floods, there are tornadoes, there are hurricanes, there are alligators in the streets in Florida. I mean, bad things happen to good people, And based on this passage, we are not immune to the troubles, to the storms of life. Sunday, I told you, the key to basic Christianity 101 is in Christ, in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, we have faith to withstand every crisis, just like the wise man that built his house on the rock. The difference is between the believer and the unbeliever is not that we're spared from life's crisis, but while the other is not, the one is and the other is not. In Christ, we believers have the resource to overcome the storms, regardless of how severe they are. I know some of you are saying, you don't know, Pastor Jesse, you don't know what I've gone through, what I'm going through. Listen, tests, trials, and tribulations, you're either going into one, you're either in one, or you're either coming out of one. But in this world, we are going to have storms. And I'm not cursing anybody. I'm not prophesying something evil. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. But just don't allow this message to be just words. If you don't change, there will be no changes. And nobody can change you, not even God himself. Not even God. He gives you the resources to overcome the storms, regardless of how severe they are. But are you willing to change? Are you willing to switch from one to another? Are you willing to become different? Are you willing to allow yourself for the Holy Spirit to transform your life? Romans 12:2 is not a request or a suggestion. It's a command. God's word works if you work the word. So what is it, a foolish or a wise man? Christianity 101 is to find Jesus in every storm. What the enemy intended for evil, God will redeem and use for our good. Are you hearing me this evening? The only ones who get results are doers. Amen. How do we find Jesus in every storm? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14, as many, implies that not every believer is led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons with a small s, S-O-N-S. That means mature. We're mature Christians. Why? Because we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to reveal things for us. Amen. Matthew 14:28, the storm, Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, remember if, whenever you see if in the Bible, it's always conditional, and it never depends on God. God says, if you forgive, God, if your Father in heaven will forgive you. Well, what happens if you don't? Your Father in heaven will not forgive you. So if is conditional. And Peter asks with doubt, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. What did Jesus say? Come, it's me. Get your eyes off the storm, Peter. Amen. Keep your eyes on me, Jesus, and set your goals on the victory. If I'm walking on the water and you trust me, if you believe in me, if you keep your eyes on me, you're going to do the same thing. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned in Rome. 20 centuries later, the church continues to be strengthened and encouraged by his letters. What did he say to Philippians? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. The Apostle Paul found out that God is in every crisis. Paul found out that Jesus is in every victory. He found out Jesus didn't start the crisis, and the Holy Spirit can be found in every crisis. I've graduated tonight. I've graduated from basic Christianity 101. I've learned to trust Jesus, to find him in every storm. If something bad's happening, it's not because of God. I'm going to look to see Jesus, and he'll give me the answer and the solution. Philippians 1:12. Things have happened to me that actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You might be going through something and you don't know the reason why. But if you trust the Lord, if you keep your eyes on Him, when He delivers you, you'll say, I get it, Lord. I see now. Amen. If you have a crisis tonight, there's bad news and there's good news. If you're in the middle of a crisis, the bad news is Job, one of the oldest books in the Old Testament, Job 14 says, our lives are but a few days, and then they're full of trouble, storms. That's the bad news. The good news, Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out. The righteous cry out, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. Oh, church, we win here and we win there. Our main course in Basic Christianity 101 is we always keep our eyes on Jesus. We look and we find Jesus in every storm. If you keep your eyes off the circumstances, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you set your goal on the victory, victory will come. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work for good to those that love you. Our strength this evening is in Christ, not only to endure, but to overcome any evil, bad experience. Amen. Repeat this after me this evening. Amen. You are here this evening. Just repeat this after me this evening. Father God, Lord, I give you thanks for your greatness, for your goodness, and for your love towards me. Tonight I draw near to enjoy your presence, for you are with me even in the midst of my storms. In Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Oh, church, we are greatly blessed to experience more of God's wonders than to go through life storms. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We gave you an update on our missionaries. Pastor Rose and I gave you an update last Tuesday. Just do your part. Whatever the Lord instructs you to do, whatever the Lord commands you to do, do your part, and we'll get her done. Amen. Every member has a part to play, 1 Corinthians 12:18. That's why the gospel is 2,000 years old. Somebody has always said yes to the Lord, and they've experienced blessings on the other side of yes. You, our listener that participates, and First His Kingdom, we are God-called partners. God-called partners. We are a mission-oriented church. We're the little church with a big heart for missions, and our seed is known around the world. On behalf of all our missionaries, we, the leadership of this church, we thank you. We thank you for your precious, precious support. We couldn't do what we do without you. Tonight, Heavenly Father, this evening, in Jesus' name, I call your people greatly blessed, highly favored with you and man. I decree, I declare, and I prophesy divine blessings of health, wealth, and above all things, Father, soul prosperity. Unexpected blessings on the other side of yes. Amen. Jesus, you and First His Kingdom, you are never alone. Stay in the blessing line till it's your time. Stick and stay. God always pays. Our elders will be with you tomorrow night. God bless you. God bless you. Be blessed. We love you.